Now, Matt, I know you've heard, and I've heard both, that there were some people in Pella that were a little disappointed in something that we may have said in our last podcast. I went back and listened to it, and I couldn't specifically find anything that I would have considered, even from an outsider's perspective, as disrespectful, but that's not the point. I will apologize if for some reason they felt that we slighted their defense. Because let's be honest, for a while in that game, their defense played pretty doggone good. We gave up more yards than they did.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, all we did was when we talked about their defense, we hadn't seen it. We saw film.
Yeah.
I wasn't sliding the film. We were just going by the numbers on a piece of paper on Quick Stats.
Yeah, and I, you know what, after that game happened, I mean, their defense is good, and yeah. I don't think we had any reason to slight them to
not
begin with. I think it was the more of the angle we were taking was just West Branch's offense is good, and no one's really been able to stop them this year. I mean, that's really what it came down
to. So respectfully speaking, we will apologize for that.
Right. I mean, of course.
So moving on in, 42-27 was the score of the game on Monday, but we're first going to talk about that game before we get into talk about the next game. This is the Talking Bear Football Podcast
on westbranchfootball.com.
Yes, it is. Or westbranch.football.
Correct. You can do westbranch.football as well, which is pretty cool.
We haven't talked about that much.
We really haven't.
But it's okay.
But yeah, I think because most people would be confused. They're like, what is .football?
But thanks for joining us again for episode like
27.
And there's going to be a 28 and hopefully a 29. But 27 is not upon us. 42-27 was the score on Monday night, Matt.
Yep.
Pella Christian's offense was not what we know that they were going to put up yards.
Mm-hmm.
They averaged 260 yards passing a game. They had 277 that night. They ran the ball 35 times on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
They are a good football team that's going to be outstanding in 2015 because they return. You go to their – go Quick Stats. Mm-hmm. Go to that game breakdown, Pella Christian stats just for that game. Every kid that was in passing, rushing, receiving, but one were juniors. The other one was a sophomore.
Wow.
They're all under class.
Yeah.
They got three linemen starting that are returning for next year. That is going to be a team to watch out for in 2015. Hats off to them on a great season.
Yeah, I mean, as good as they were, you know, this season, just being juniors, you know, you take all the experience of this year and the work they're going to put in to better themselves in the offseason. You've got this is our last go at it, you know, momentum and drive that goes along with that. Yeah, it's going to be scary next year. I really hope we're not matched up. They're not in our district.
There's not many teams that are going to want to be matched up against
them.
No,
absolutely
not.
Let's be honest. Yeah, so, you know.
Hats off to them.
Let's hope the state does not match us up with them in district play. But, yeah, I mean, their balance was, you know, after watching their game, their first round playoff game against Lisbon, you know, I wasn't really too surprised by how much balance they had on offense just because, you know, when they ran, they just kind of ran it up the middle, and you know, 5-6 yards in a cloud of dust was how they did it. And then when they passed the ball, it was, you know, crossers across the middle of the field or towards the sideline. And you know, they were really good football team. I think that was a good test for West Branch, especially on defense, but also on offense as well, because. What's the guy's name again?
David Kaczmarynski.
Yeah. So Kaczmarynski.
How in the world do you not remember that on both offense and defense?
I know.
He had 12 solo tackles at the linebacker position.
That's what I'm saying.
What a player.
Like, he, you know, that team really, I mean, no disrespect to anybody else, but really revolves around him, you know, at passing the ball, being smart on quarterback position. Yeah, and then defense, you know, we could not run the ball up the middle. Because of him,
he was a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah, it was.
And when you think about it, perhaps something that came to mind as I think about it now, we talked about how Sigourney Kyoto had 500 yards of rushing near 500 yards of rushing against,
he didn't play.
Like Pellet Christian. And we found out it's because he was not playing linebacker.
Yeah.
So that makes a huge difference in West Branch, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So really quickly, we talked about in our game capsule, Matt, we talked about some of the key plays from this game on Monday.
Yeah.
Talked about how West Branch came right out, scored just right away. Mm-hmm. Then
minute and 20 seconds, I think, into the
on
game.
The third play of the game, Luke Lennox,
55 yards.
I didn't think he was going to play. That's what I read in the paper in Pella.
I think that's what Coach Peterson was saying.
Yeah, but he played, and then 55 yards gone around the left corner, around the left edge, and then the Bears get a three and out.
Yep.
And then take it right down the field again, score 13-0, 6 minutes into 7 minutes into the game.
I think here we go again.
And
right?
Oh my gosh! And then the second play of the very next drive, Devin Kinnett, about the 33-yard line, got one right in his hands, makes a great read over on the from his linebacker position, and unfortunately he dropped that one.
Dropped the interception.
Yep. And then I'm sitting up here in the booth, and I say, usually things like that happen, Matt. They come back to bite you, little plays like that. Yep. And what happened on that drive?
They scored.
Pella Christian scores. Mm-hmm. They go down and they score. They make the extra point. West Branch, by the way, missed their second extra point. Was blocked.
Yep.
And then?
So 13-7. And that was it was that way until the second, third play of the first play, maybe, of the second half.
It was that way, but big play there. One momentum play that happened on the very West Branch goes three and out again.
Yeah.
Almost shanks a punt from deep in their zone. Pella Christian on the very, I think it was the second play of their next drive. Kaczmarinski throws to Jungling, who we said they were going to throw a lot, ends up with like 8 catches for 164 yards or something like that, I believe, in the game. But throws it to him. Garrett Tucker, Johnny on the spot, makes a tackle, forces a fumble at the 1 yard line as Jungling's going into the cross the goal line. Luke Lennox recovers it, and it ends up staying 13-7 until the third quarter, Matt. Third or fourth, third play.
I think it was actually the first play
of the third quarter.
Kaczmarinski, he kind of just did a bootleg out to the right side of the formation and just off the, down the west sideline.
Off that good, clean block that was out there on the edge. He took off and 69 yards later, rumbling, literally
down to
rumbling,
the 3 yard line. Yeah, he's a big boy.
He's
a big boy. So down to the 3 yard line, and then I think the very next
Hunter
play,
Wardle, I believe, caught up to him about the three in the very next. Was it?
The next play they went in.
Throws a 3 yard pass to Jungling.
And so then West Branch losing.
Yeah.
Second time all year, I think.
By the way, he didn't throw the pass. It was Jungling on the jet sweep going around left edge. Yeah. Second time all year, West Branch is losing.
Yeah.
After that extra point.
Yeah,
actually third. They were behind against Lisbon 7-0, and then behind West Burlington Notre Dame.
Correct.
And then this time, but at any rate,
yeah.
The very next drive, West Branch. Do they stall out, Matt, or do they score?
Couldn't remember.
You don't remember?
Well, I know we eventually scored. Of course,
14-13.
Yep.
We go down. We score. Devin Kennan over the goal line, pounds the ball on the ground, and then 2-point conversion, Cooper Cobble on that pass pattern that he and I work on every day, every Friday before the game. We do throw routes up on top of the hill.
So 21-13.
21-13.
And they answered right back.
They answered right back, and this time it was Jungling on a 3 yard pass across or going across the middle. Then they get the 2-point conversion.
Yep.
21-21.
They had 14.
They kicked the next point. Yeah. I'm thinking of our 2-point conversion.
21-21, and
then it happened.
It happened. Things started to happen. So they kick off, and Hunter Wargo, he just gets the ball 10-yard line and just sees a huge hole on the left side of the formation, kind of towards the west side of the field.
Coach Peterson, by the way, is on Thursdays and in practices always saying, "You see that hole, Hunter? Hit it hard."
Yep.
And
yes, he did.
Yes,
and
he did.
And he was off to the races. He showed his track speed. I'd love to see a race between him and Cooper Koenig.
I don't know. It'd be a pretty good race.
I think it would be. He was gone. I mean, no one was even close to him. The kick return team did a heck of a job on just creating a huge hole for Hunter to run through and go 90 yards for the touchdown. And that was huge because, Pella was fighting and scratching at us and really had some momentum. And Kakmarinski was throwing the ball well. Youngling was just all over the field, and you know that kind of thing really hurt them. You know, but not as much as the next West Branch scoring play.
Yeah,
too.
And then after that, we score. We get that extra point after Wargo's kick, and on the actually, I think it was the first play. No, second play, because there was an incomplete pass along the side along the visitor sideline. Very next play, Kakmarinski's looking for a receiver. Looking for him to cross over. Mm-hmm. The timing was off because he was actually bumped. Showed him. You got to show him that you're there coming across the middle. Give him a little shove. Threw the timing off. And Devin Kenden's right there. Johnny on the spot. Mm-hmm. And picks it off. Redemption is always a great thing in football. Yeah. Picks it off and does take it to the end zone.
Yeah.
And then the extra point by Bo Cornwell makes it 35-21. And the Bears never really... I mean, actually, Pella Christian actually came down to score again. It made
they
35-27.
And we scored once again a monstrous Devin Kenden run. I think it was 28 yards, 30 yards, something like that. He probably ran over half the defense. Yeah. And I think the final 5-10 yards going into the end zone, he was just... I think he was gassed, but he also had a little bit of cramping going on, too, that night. So he was... He gave it 120% to get into that end zone, and really just kind of put the final nail in the coffin for the Bears.
Jared Tylee, assistant coach Jared Tylee, made a comment that I heard the other day, and he said, when you look back at that game, it's pretty impressive to see that the offense really scored 14 pure points. The special team set up three scores, or scored. One, they... put a good rush on deep in the zone, and then when the Eagles were kicking out of the north end zone, put pressure on and had him, and the punter, jungling as it were, put pressure on him, and he sort of hit the put off the side of his foot. Short field, Bears took advantage. Two, Aaron Barnes had a tremendous punt return, 38 or 40, another plus 30-yard punt return for a guy that's continuing to add on.
You kind of just have to expect that.
Yeah, and then the third one being Wargo's. The Bears scored, by the way, after that Barnes punt return, and then Wargo's score. So that's basically 21 points, and that's what he said, 21 points off special teams, 7 off defense with the interception return for 6. So 28 of the 42 points, well, with extra points.
Right.
I mean, we'll just throw that in there. Four scores were on defense, were on special teams and defense. Scored 66, two-thirds of the points. You do that at this time of year, your special team set you up for that many, basically scores, in quotations, that many points.
Well,
you aren't going to lose many football
games. No, and I feel like that it's just been a long time coming all season. I mean, this, you know, Coach Crosswood's doing a wonderful job with the special teams. You know, punt, kicking, field goal, et cetera, and it's really paying off when it needs to for teams. Because if, you know, you've got your special teams rolling late in the playoffs, that's just one extra advantage you have over your opponent.
It is. Well, Matt, I think 42-27, a couple stats. Let's give a few stats on this and close the book and move on.
Yeah, just real quick, Cooper Koenig passing was 12 for 20, 142 yards. Him rushing, he had 11 attempts for 57 yards and one touchdown. Devin Kenden, 5 rushes for 39 yards. Luke Lenock, 18 rushes, 120 yards. So another 100-plus yard game for him. Receiving, Matt Shaver had 5 receptions for 54 yards. Aaron Barnes, 2 receptions for 31. Devin Kenden, 2 receptions for 22. And Cooper Kabla, 2 receptions for 30.
Really quickly.
I love seeing that.
By the way, did Cooper Kabla score any points on that game the other night?
He scored 2.
Hunter Wargo score?
He scored.
So when those two score, do the Bears lose?
No, they're 2-0.
They're 2-0 when those two guys score.
And Wargo is...
When Wargo scores, the Bears don't lose.
5-0, I think.
So let's hope they both score tomorrow night at Regina.
Yep.
Well, that's it. Let's pass the songbooks in on Pella Christian and grab the songbooks for our next team, the Regina Runnin' Regals, baby.
Who?
The Iowa City Regina Runnin' Regals.
Oh, the team that's won 5 straight state.
They've won 5 straight state titles. They have not lost a Class 1A game since the state championship game of 2007 versus Council Bluffs St. Albert's. Yeah. 2008, 9, 10, and 11.
They were 2A.
They were 2A.
Yeah.
So... You know, it's. I don't think still the stat is not misleading when you've dominated your class opponents.
Yeah.
What historic run they're on right now.
What that team has done.
Kind of like the West Branch historic run in the early 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. But what that team has done, holy cow. That coaching staff has been wonderful. Supporters over there at that school has been great as well. So it's a dynasty. It's really what that is.
It is what it is.
I mean, it's more than just a rich story. It's a dynasty. So I'm really excited for this team to have the opportunity to play Regina. In the playoffs, 1-2. Of all those storylines there, I mean, I know it's just a football game, but there's obviously a lot on the line here. No matter who the West Branch is
playing, it's a quarterfinal football game. Yeah. The winner
goes to the dome.
Mm-hmm. Now, lucky for us, Matt.
Yes,
we had the chance to speak with a guy named Mitchell Charles Moon, Mitchie
mm-hmm.
Moon,
mm-hmm.
one of your classmates.
He was
stopped by to talk with us here on the podcast. He played in the dome his junior year in 2008. We're in the semifinals, and his senior year. 2009 in the semifinals, and we talk with him a little bit about that and what he thinks might be going through the heads of some of these players. Here's a play. We'll play it for you right now. Mitchell Charles Moon, number 59 in the program his senior year, but number 9 in his heart, probably in my heart too, Mitch. I know 9 was your number.
It was. We'll admit it was 79 that was in the program.
Yeah, you're right. It was 79. You caught him. Look at that. Mitchell Charles, Mitch Moon, always willing to catch me out on something. And then I deserve that. I deserve that. But 79.
Now, when I got changed.
Barney was 59, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. The old ball coach.
The old ball coach.
Now, when I got changed to center that year, Butch led me up to the equipment room. And I'm thinking I'm a senior. If I don't get a good number up there, I'll make one of these freshmen, sophomores be able to change. I get up there, he opens the closet. There's 3 numbers that a lineman can wear. I've got 61, 63, and 79. And I hate 60s. I hate those numbers. So clearly, pick 79. And
it was the obvious choice.
Right.
It had the 9 on it, too.
Right.
And if we had to tape over the 7... he'd have been okay.
Right. And the biggest joke was there's a 79 playing linebacker out there. What's he doing out there?
You don't see that very mm-mm, often. Mm-mm. Usually you got the lower middle to low numbers playing those linebacker spots.
But in the program, I was also 215 pounds and standing over 6 foot, which clearly, if you look at me today, that's not the truth.
Funny thing, you mentioned that. One of the kids on the field said, Matt Shaver actually mentioned this, mm-hmm. senior captain. Shaver said, that's Mitch Moon. I always thought he was bigger. He said that. So it's funny that you make mention that, he didn't quite reach 215. Might not even have reached, you're balancing then probably in the 190s.
I was. I was 190 soaking wet, I think. So I got to thank Butch for making me a little scarier in that program.
Well, when you look back on your senior season, what were some of the memories besides, the leading up to having the opportunity to play in the Unidome?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up, going to all those dome games with all the younger generation, I mean, West Branch football was instilled in me, and lucky enough to have really good teams that I played on. And junior year, we actually went to the dome for the first time. I think it was in 5 or 6 years. Finally got back there and got over that hump. And that experience really carried over and helped us. And we knew that we had a solid team going into it. We just had to execute. And the dome's a special place for sure. there's nothing like it. And that's what everybody's striving for on that first day of practice. But going back to the season, there's special moments all throughout the year, but I think it has to do more with the camaraderie you share with your teammates on and off the field. I mean, you get done with games, you go to the old Chicago down in Coralville, and the whole team's pretty much in there, and we're talking about the game and just having a good time, being relaxed, and it's those memories that I look back on and really appreciate. I mean, I played with some good players. Cole Kelly went on to play at St. Ambrose, one of my good friends, along with Jack Rummels, who ended up making it to the NFL. It's pretty crazy when you think about how many people live in West Branch and the talent that comes out of here. And from the looks of it, from the sounds of it, after watching practice tonight, and got a pretty good team here, so I'm looking forward to be able to watch them.
This is probably the first time you've watched a team play a game. Has it been 4 or 5 years, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, West Branch football means a lot to me, and as a lot of people know, when my dad passed away, I was able to come back, and that's been about the last game I had where Butch was able to. My dad's favorite color was purple, and he let the whole team, I had some close friends still on that team, and let everybody wear purple in remembrance of him, and I was able to talk to the team and really help that grieving process. So I haven't really been back since that game, but I do keep up through you and through Matt helping on the website, which does a great job and can listen, and always love the updates. But it's going to be great to see. I got family members on the other side too, so I'm looking for a little bragging rights as well.
Yes, you do. So, well, Mitch, I know that you've made mention 2 or 3 times about how what it really does, what it means when you think, when you walk away from West Branch and you're not here very much, but 4 or 5 years later, you come back, you're on this field, and it's neat to see you. You were down having the opportunity to chat with Cole. Then you get to talk with Coach Peterson and then Coach Jared and Coach Ty Lee. You know, it's like everybody, it is one big family, no matter where you, if you're a seventh grader or you've been out for 7 years or 25 years. Once you're a Bear, you're always a Bear.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the great things. Got a lot of good friends still, all my high school buddies. And inevitably, whenever we get together, there's always talks of games coming up, no matter where we're at. And Butch does such a great job of instilling not only football, but what makes the sport of football great, and that's teamwork. You need 11 people doing their job every single play to be able to compete and be able to win. And he's instilled that, and it's not only football, but it's the life lessons that are taught through football and through him. And it's always nice to see. I mean, you got Bailey back there. You got Cole, one of my good friends, being able to – he played. He knows the tradition, and he can be able to come back and really show these kids the next generation of what it's like and what it's going to take to compete at that level.
Well, a couple more questions. This one, a little bit more serious question. If you're in the huddle tomorrow night, Friday night, for the game against Regina, obviously we know that there's all the pomp and circumstance you could say because it's 1 versus 2, it's West Branch versus Regina. Just throwing that out the book and realize this is a quarterfinal football game for the chance to punch a ticket, to play in the Unidome. You had that opportunity. You're in the huddle. Everybody's listening to you before the game. What's the message that you give to them?
To me, it's not necessarily another game because, like you said, everybody knows the circumstances, the rivalry of what it's been the past 15, 20 years. But it's not putting pressure. There's no need to put pressure. We're 2. They're 1. They've got everything to lose, and we just need to go out there and execute. I mean, it's just you go from week 1 and you learn from your mistakes, week 2, week 3, and now we're in game 12 at least, and we're looking to go out there and just do the same things that we've done. The biggest thing is there needs to be a calm presence out there. No matter what happens, there's going to be bad plays out there, but they need somebody. And from the seniors I know, the captains, especially Drew Finnegan, I know that we're in good hands, but that calm presence, being able to remind some of the players when things get Ari and off stride that we can get back on this and really come through in the clutch. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens, and looking forward to see the game.
It's great how it worked out, Mitchell, that the Bears decided to get a victory for you on Monday night. So you, among the hundreds of Bear fans that'll be at the game, you actually get to watch a pretty good football game. I'm glad you're able to be back. I know Coach Peterson is happy you're back, and hopefully we can take some of those words. The kids can take some of those words to heart and go ahead and punch that ticket to the Dome.
Yeah,
play-by-play.
Absolutely. It should be a great game. I know from what I hear from all my friends and contacts around that it's going to be a good game. A lot of people in this town are excited. A lot of people in the state are excited to see what happens. And there's going to be a big buzz going around this eastern part of the state. And so I'm excited along with everybody. But I am ready to see Regina go down.
And all due respect, I mean, what a great program they've had over the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with the success, but sometimes people at the top got to fall.
That's the way it goes, right?
Right.
Well, thank you, Mitch Moon. Always a pleasure seeing you and chatting with you here on the – nice to have you here on the podcast with Matt and I.
Well, thank you, sir. It's been a long time coming. I've been trying to get on this thing for a while. My waiting list.
We get emails. When am I going to get my chance?
Unbelievable. And Matt Schnander finally caved in. I don't think he had anybody on the list, so he had to bring me up. So.
Well, that's Mitch Moon, number 79, captain in 2009. He was one of 4 or 5 team captains that year that helped lead the Bears in the second of 4 consecutive semifinal berths. Well, that's Mitch Boone. You know him well. I know him well. He's a friend of ours.
I know him well.
You know him really well.
Yeah.
You guys went to school together for about 13 years.
Something like that.
Counting kindergarten.
Yep, kindergarten.
That's 13 then.
Mm-hmm.
1 through 12, yeah.
He's a special kid.
He's a special, special
kid.
And he's a special player. Mm-hmm. He's one of the better left-handed golfers I've ever been around, besides Coach Randy Sexton.
So, Jason, tell me about Regina.
Let me tell you about Regina.
Yeah, what can we expect?
You can expect a very good football team. Let's just throw it out there. They're a really, really good, very well-coached, fundamental football team. Now, Mitch, in this player, you see in the capsule that we put on the website today on westbranchfootball.com, the game capsule for West Branch versus Regina, some of the players that we talked about. Nathan Stenger is the first one that comes to mind. He's number 8 in the program. Yes, I actually know this number right. Thanks, Mitch. Quarterback, was a all-state wide receiver last year for Drew Cook. First team, all-state, elite team, all-state receiver. Moves over to play quarterback after Drew Cook graduates this year. What's he done? 1,280 yards passing, about 800 yards rushing.
No big deal, right?
No big deal. He's just really stepped up his game this year. He's really done a good job of stepping up his game over the last 3 weeks with the loss, injury to Nick Phillips is another guy you got to talk about. I guarantee you he's playing tomorrow night. He sat out the last 3 games, has had a toe injury, a foot injury, which can be a little bit tricky sometimes, mm-hmm. because, well, that's where you put all your weight on, yep. when you're running. Mm-hmm. And when you're an elusive player like this kid is, a quick cut here, he can make you miss. He could take it. He is one step away from going to the end zone anywhere on the field. He's got over 800 yards rushing. He was also over 300 yards receiving. Through week 8, he was a leading rusher. And the leading receiver for this team, and the leading special teams player. And at that point, he was leading the team, and he's got 5 interceptions on defense. Ethan Succomel. By the way, Mitch Moon, that's a relative of Mitch, Ethan Succomel. So the thing here is Ethan Succomel has stepped in for Phillips and done a great job running the ball.
Well, you know what's going to be, I don't want to say frustrating, but probably frustrating, is that even though Phillips might only be, he won't be at 100% probably, he's still going to have a huge impact.
He is. From a mental standpoint, when they see their leader, mm-hmm. one of their leaders, I should say, on the field, that gives you that drive.
Yeah.
But the same thing's going to happen for West Branch, and it did in the last game. And he's mm-hmm. still going to be there ready to go to this game. Yeah. Among the many leaders that they have. We're not just going to single out Mr. Finnegan.
Yep.
But other guys you got to watch, Matt. I mentioned Ethan Succomel. He is a great defensive player. Mikey Conlon, leads the team with 6 picks. I mean, they've got 5 kids with 3, 5, or 6 interceptions. 5 kids on defense that have at least 3 interceptions.
Wow.
West Branch doesn't have. I think they may have 1 kid with 3.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look at the stats because I think that might be 1 kid maybe with 3 interceptions. Yeah. They have 5. We haven't even talked about their lineman, Jared Brinkman. He is a hammer. 6'2", 255, and it's like moving a brick wall. He's a good player. He'll be a first-team All-Stater. Stevie Seals, about 6'4", 240, is a sophomore. He's going to get some. He'll probably be an All-District kind of performer. Reagan Reese, I believe is Reagan Reese, last name Reese, R-I-E-S. He's a big old boy. You've got a couple. Demery kid was a big leader for them, a great leader for their team. He got hurt, and I'm not sure if he'll be. I think he actually played last week on Monday. I say week. It was 3 days ago. Thank you, Iowa High School Athletic Association. But their line is good. Their line is going to be well coached. But Emilio Tovar, Mitch talked about, they always have good kickers. Yeah. Kid's got 23 touchbacks. Mm-hmm. Every time he kicks, it's deep. He's the third. He's got 23 touchbacks, and he's third in Class 1A. The Dyke New Hartford kicker's number one in 1A with like 40-some touchbacks.
Well, and that's
Lyon kicker and then Dyke's kicker.
That's going to be important for them, especially with, you know, Shaver, Wargo, Barnes, whoever's back there fielding kick returns. That's going to be important. Like, that's going to be a big thing to be able to neutralize one of the aspects of where we're good, you know.
Yeah. Now, you look at – listen to what Stephen Grace had to say in the capsule. If you want some yardage information on how odd
incredible.
And strange and incredible it is, how evenly matched these two teams are statistically. Go to the game capsule. Unfortunately, you got to suffer through listening to me a little bit, but wait till you hear what Stephen Grace has to give.
It's like
he lists their numbers. It's within a yard.
Yeah, not even a yard.
All year.
A tenth of a yard.
11 games, and these schools, two schools, are within a yard.
Yeah.
And they're the number one and number two in the state of Iowa. That's another statistic. They're 8 miles apart, Matt. It's a storied rivalry. I mean, they're the biggest rivalry for each team. It used to be West Liberty. I think they certainly think it's Regina now. But those are some of the names you need to watch out for. But when you go down the line, like I can name skill players down the line, West Branch has skill players down the line too. This is probably the most evenly matched team, besides the Cedar Rapids Xavier, of course, who beat Regina 38-35 in week 8. This is going to be the most evenly matched 1A team on paper that Regina has probably seen in a couple years. Mm-hmm. And I would say that if I wasn't from West Branch, just by looking on paper. Because when we look on paper, Matt, it's that same thing we talked about to begin the show. That when you look on paper, you're just seeing the numbers.
Yep.
And when they're that even, they're evenly matched on paper.
Right.
That's just, there's no cliche. It's just, I'm just shooting you straight.
Yep.
It's going to be a great football game.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm nervous. I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see what this team can do against, I mean, easily the best team we've probably played all year.
Yeah.
Right?
No question about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really don't know what to say because I just kind of want it to be here now.
It is. Let's just say this. It's a quarterfinal football game. Yeah. Only 8 teams are left in Class 1A. West Branch and Regina are 2 of them.
It's quarterfinals, like, even if no matter who we're playing, I'm going to
you know it's
be
gonna
nervous
be
for
there's
that
no
game.
Such thing as a cakewalk.
No.
The first round, no offense to Columbus, on paper that was just a mismatch, and it turned out to be a mismatch. The second round, we said it last week, Matt, that they were going to be the toughest team West Branch had faced.
And they were.
And they were the best offense,
yes.
And probably the best defense West Branch had faced. That's no disrespect to Al Burnett. They were a very good football team.
Stuff too,
they were a good football team. But Pella Christian puts up points like nobody in Class 1A throws it this way. You'll never see anybody like that.
To beat Pella Christian, you have to score.
You got to score points because they're going
to
throw it all over the yard, and they've got the athletes to do it.
As we saw, So I just, I'm nervous, but I'm optimistic just because I truly believe that I think this team can beat Regina.
Yep, well, that's what you have to believe. I do too. And I'm not saying that because
genuine. Yeah.
It is. I'm not just because I'm a West Branch Bear fan and we want another episode of the Talking Bear Football podcast.
Well, I mean, we're going to have one regardless.
We're going to have one. We want more.
Yeah.
We want to be able to talk about the Dome. We want these kids to experience the things that Mitch Moon talked about as a player, that Jared Tiley has experienced as a coach, that Cole Kelly's experienced as a coach, that Butch Peterson has experienced as a coach 23 times, that Matt Hill's experience as a player, John Hirschman saw the, he and Matt Hill's were both, our coaches saw the promised land as players, as winning a state championship their senior year. That's way off the road. Let's not get into that. But I want these kids to be able to have that experience. There's nothing like when that gate opens or when you're walking out the doors and all of a sudden you look up and there's 100 feet or whatever, how high it is from the floor to the top. Holy cow, neck breaker. Yeah,
I remember we went, you know, last time we were there, you know, you and I both were on the sideline. And when we got there, Coach Peterson had all of us just go out on the – first thing we did was go out on the field, just kind of soak it all in, stand out there, walk around, just look around. You know, there was really – there was nobody there, nobody in the stands, just the team went out, walked around. And it, I remember it just being kind of a – it's different being down on the field.
Serenity now.
I mean, it's different being down on the field, in the middle of the field, just kind of looking up all around and seeing what that atmosphere is about. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I want to experience that again, but, you know, even more, I want these kids to experience that too, just that's because of how much, how hard they've worked all year, how well they get along. I mean, they are a team. So, it's, I think they deserve to do that, but it's going to be a test, big test, Friday night in Iowa City.
Well, here's Mitch Moon's thoughts on the game. Here's his, he's going to give us a score. And we're just going to have him go ahead and give us his picks or positions to click. Here's what he thinks about it. Now, we do this with all our guests. I mean, we allow them the opportunity. What do you think? I mean, you haven't seen the Bears, but you're keeping up. You can keep up statistically and just from word of mouth on both sides because you've got family there, and obviously you've got a lot of family here in West Branch. What do you see as some of the keys and ultimately, kind of a score projection?
That's always tough, especially when you've got these two teams powerhouse. You never know. I think points are going to be pretty tough to come by, but not necessarily too tough. I think there's going to be a couple breakout scores. From what I hear and from what I see, speed is going to be key. It's not necessarily who's the bigger one, but who can get lower, who's got the better technique. And football's a funny game sometimes, and and I think it's going to be going down to that fourth quarter, possibly overtime. You never know what happens in that, but it should be going down as one of these great football games, great matchups that we've had. And I'm gonna, of course, I can't stray away from my Bears, but. I'm going to have to go a 2014 final score. Regina's always had a good kicking game, so there could be potential there. But I'm going to have to go 2014. The Regals going down.
Okay, that's Mitch Moon with his score. Now, Mitch, you get the opportunity for your pick to click. This is where that all that knowledge of all these players that you've watched from a distance now. What and you might pick it just by position, and that's okay. The key person or position, what do you feel is going to turn the tide to make the positive step for the Bears in this game?
I mean, you've got a lot of good athletes in there, and a lot of athletes that have been around for a while, have grown up through the program and understand. There's going to be two sets that I think are going to be important. The one thing is going to be that quarterback position. He's going to need to take control of that huddle, be able to lead this team into the right direction. But one I'm excited to see and I've grown up around is Mr. Drew Finnegan coming back and kind of the presence that he brings to that line. You know I'm a lineman, so I got to give a shout-out to all those linemen out there. I will always go down to believe that we are the most important part of any football team, but you got to have those athletes that can score. But I'm excited to see what he brings, just booster that line, and I think it should be fun to see that matchup there just in the trenches. Leading to leading to the scoring plays or the big plays or preventing those big plays on the defensive side. So it's going to be coming down to those guys. Everybody's got to do their job. They know their job. It's just going to come down to who wants it more.
Makes a good point. I think the offensive line is going to play. I mean, that's just cliche. That's going to be the key to a game is who wins the battle in the trenches. Well,
especially with how big their line is.
And, I mean, West Branch and Regina, size-wise, they match up helmet-to-helmet pretty doggone well, size-wise.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, when Luke Lenock does well, we typically do well. So it's going to be...
The offensive line does well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's all connected. So, you know, if we can... If that line can open up holes for Luke, that's going to be a shootout.
Limit your penalties,
yeah.
Limit your turnovers, and win the special teams battle are the three keys for me. You got to limit penalties. Mm-hmm. Once you're going to get a penalty, you never play a clean game unless you're in Alburnett. Then you limit the turnovers.
Yep.
Okay? Because the last time West Branch was there 2 years ago, only four of these kids were on that team active. Luke Lenock, Ryan Grosvenor, Drew Finnegan, and
Aaron Barnes.
Only you four. Know what? And Aaron Barnes
right.
was, right inside the game, a pitch, bad pitch out in front of Lenock, fumble, turn it in. Next kickoff, yep. Barnes returns it. Somebody steals it out of his hands and takes it to the end zone just like that. Bam, it's 14-0, shell shock.
Yeah.
Done.
I remember I watched those highlights today, and I kind of had the flashback of like, feeling that sinking feeling of like, oh no.
Yeah, we had to fight to find some. Yeah.
So you know, you mentioned Aaron Barnes. I think he's going to be a good. He's not on the team considered a captain, but I think he's going to be a good leader, emotionally, mentally, outside of physically as well. Tomorrow, at school before the game, on the way to the game, preparing for the game, etc. Just because. You know, he was with this Regal team last year. He won the state title with them. He's been through the playoffs with them before. He has that experience. And I think what that's going to do for him personally, and hopefully he carries this over to the rest of the team, but just patience.
Yeah.
And not getting too worked up about
cue guns
bad
and roses.
Plays. Yeah. About bad plays because, you know, low points there's going to be low points. There's going to be penalties. I mean, who knows? It might be turnovers. The other team, you know, Regals are going to score. You know, we're going to have three and outs, etc. Like, you know, all the bad things are going to happen. But I think he's going to be a vocal and emotional leader about keeping this team on track, keeping them mentally focused, and not worried about those things. Because, as Kirk Ferentz would say, that's football.
Yeah, I've been running the field tonight, just trying to get it right. It's hard to see with so many people around. You hope the team doesn't get caught stuck in the ground. Guns N' Roses. That's some good advice. Well, Matt, give it to us. Let's just get right in.
Okay.
Let's not. You know what? We usually get other scores around from last week.
Yep.
We don't need to.
Nope.
Because I know who won.
Yep.
Matt said 42-28. He missed by one. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. Brandon, Gregory Norfleet. if the new guy, old guy, Sideline Tommy, anybody putting your score in, we are thankful. Keep doing that. Hopefully you get it.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. But, Matt, you pulled it off. We both had 42.
Yep. You had 13.
I said 13
You got to keep going with it, though.
I'll find something. I'll find something.
All right. So my score this game. You know, Mitch tried to pull a fast one on us. He said 22-14 Regals are going down. He caught me there for a minute. I was a little nervous. I'm going to say 28-24 West Branch.
I'm laughing because that's the score I've had in my head for 4 days, 3 days.
Say it.
I can't. You know,
why not?
You know me and those tie-ins. Last week I tied in a Kakmarinski name from the last time we beat a team with a Kakmarinski on it. Mm-hmm. This time I'm going to tie in the last time the Bears won a state quarterfinal game was in 2011. The opponent, Alburnett. The Bears lost to them 42-35 in the third week of the season.
I remember that.
And then played them again right here at the Little Rose Bowl.
I remember that.
On this beautiful hallowed grounds. And
you know what? I'm a little sad that we're not playing here anymore this year.
And you know what? I hope we keep practicing.
Tear in my eye.
You know. But we got to keep practicing.
It's weird
here.
Seeing white jerseys out on the field.
I know.
It's odd.
Just odd, right?
It's just different.
21-13, by the way.
21-13.
That was the score of that Albernette game.
Okay.
So I'm saying 21. I'm boxing Mitch in on both sides.
That's fine.
I mean, my heart
of
hearts.
You're taking West Branch, right?
I'm taking West Branch to win. My heart of hearts says 35 to 31 probably, but
okay.
I like tie-ins at 21-13. I'm sticking by that.
Yeah, it's okay? Done well so far.
It's done well so far. So
pick to click.
Man, let's just throw it out the window. We get in the quarterfinals, semifinals.
It's the West Branch Bears.
It's the West
That's
Branch Bears.
That's all I was going to say, Jason. And
you're right. I know you were. So guess what? I'm going first, Matt. Can we agree on that? West Branch Bears need to click.
Yeah.
I'll take the offense. You take the defense. Mitch gets the special teams. We got every facet covered.
I think that works.
Quarterfinal game.
I like it.
It's cool. I'm glad we're here.
Yep.
We're the only undefeated Class 1A team in the state right now. They click on all three of those facets, win at two out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be the only one. They're going to continue to be the only undefeated Class 1A football team in the state. But time will tell, Matt. Only time will tell. So
as we're currently recording this, we've got about 24 hours till game time.
All right. You guys, pack it in. Get your clothes. Warm up. You won't need to wear too much. It's going to be a little chilly, but you're going to have a lot of your brothers and your friends and family members there on your side cheering with you arm in arm. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, baby. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. That's...
okay.
It's been the Talkin' Bear Football Podcast tonight.
On WestBranchFootball.com.
Take care, everyone.